Father, we give you the praise. We give you the honor. We give you the adoration. Breathe upon this service here today. Let not one person leave here the same way they have come. Blessed be your name. Thank you, Master. And thank you, Adonai. In Jesus' precious name. Give the Lord the praise. Be seated if you can. Our greatest strength is the Holy Spirit. Our greatest strength is the presence of God. I'm sure our people with the head mics can receive their mics, headphones, and be able to receive the translation. This afternoon, this morning still, occupy till I come. Part 4, this is called the ministry of the master. The ministry of the master. Our objective is to understand the ministry of the master. Yesterday night, we looked at another dimension of occupy till I come. That is, we can recap on it. Occupy the space till I come. Fill the vacuum that my exit will create till I come. Ensure that no one feels my absence till I come. Carry on the assignment until I come. Step into my shoes till I come. Represent me till I come. Reproduce my results till I come. Let your appearance signify my appearance till I come. Act on my behalf till I come. Speak for me till I come. Having said all of that, it is important to know the assignment of the master. I am going to be looking at 8 assignments of Jesus that we are to continue, that we are to walk in, that we are to thrive in. Assignment number 1, we just heard about it, saving the lost. In Luke chapter 19 verse 10, he said, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Saving the lost. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. How do we save the lost? First, we are saving the lost at all cost. At all cost. God gave his only begotten Son for the salvation of the world. Saving the world, the lost, at all cost. Secondly, we are saving the lost not considering any distance. He sent his Son who came from heaven. What is the distance between heaven and earth? Light years. Thirdly, we are saving the lost without considering comfort or convenience. We are saving the lost without considering comfort or convenience. There are those who are ready to save the lost if it is comfortable. If there is a 5-star hotel. There are those who are ready to save the lost once it is not inconveniencing. In Matthew chapter 8 and in verse 17, the Bible said, 16. When the evening was come, they brought him. That's not what I'm looking for. He went through the cities and through the villages. Preaching, teaching, and healing. Luke 13:22. He went through the cities and villages, teaching, and journeying through Jerusalem. Saving the lost everywhere. If you look at our schedule this year, I wish you can place this, it on the screen. We have been to 43, minimum of 43 locations this year. Now, if you look at it, the first one is Panama. Look at it. That's Panama. Great, beautiful country. Next one is Ankpa. It's a suburb. It's a rural area. We bathed with cold water. Keep going, and then you come to number 6. That is a village here in FCT area. Then Gogotesha, another one somewhere else. Then you go all the way to the Philippines, and then you return back. Keep going. And then all the Bayelsa, Benin, and then Damangaza is another rural area. You drive before you reach there. And then you keep on going. Jalingo is northeast Nigeria, 23. That is where the northeast is the terrorism place that have been terrorism zone. Then Ibira land. Nobody. When was the last time anybody went there for crusade? Since Reinhard Bonnke. Since Reinhard Bonnke in the 90s. That's what they said. Then you have Newcastle. Then you return back to Bassa in FCT 32. Then Edo Sarake, another suburb. Then you went to Argentina, Sao Paulo, big cities. Do you understand what I'm saying? What is the point here? No distance is too far to go for souls. One of these places we went, I used my phone light, my phone light to read in the night. And to prepare the message for the crusade. There is no airport, so we flew there by helicopter. I think we're in a generation today where there are places some people cannot go. Just domiciled in a certain place. Triangular. From here to here, here to here, and here to here. That's all. Village, there are no souls there.
It's only cities are, they're only in state capitals and nation's capitals. The master Jesus, the owner of the universe, he treaded on the paths of villages. And scripture is complete. I don't know where some of us learn so many things from. Somebody told me some time ago to invite a minister for him. And I invited that minister. Unfortunately, I didn't know that he couldn't go everywhere. The place that he was to go had no good hotel. So the invitation was canceled. I was very confident that I can talk to the person, he can come. For where? Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? Winning the lost. If you say occupy it till I come, it means that as you visit cities, also visit villages, also visit towns, as you visit nations' capitals, also visit rural areas. And if Jesus has positioned you in rural area, remain there until he changes your location. It took Philip to Samaria. It took him to Gaza. It took him to the desert. And right in the desert, there was revival there. John the Baptist had a ministry in the wilderness. And in that wilderness, there was revival there. People left the cities and went to John in the wilderness. Do you understand what I'm talking about? We are talking about going to Thailand. Going to Indonesia, going to Cambodia, Far East, Southeast Asia. Right? It's not long. I told you the other day when I saw the mineral water bottle squeeze inside the plane, I began to understand what it was doing to the body. Because of the cabin pressure. And you are flying. We are going to Fiji Island. Fiji is 5 hours flight from Australia. When you reach Australia, you prepare for 5 more hours. Uttermost part of the world. Nobody is going there for sightseeing or holiday. If it is holiday, you know where to go. You go and visit John in Dubai. And go to Paris. And go to all the places. I mean, like that. I am talking about the ministry of the master. I want pastors, ministers, teachers of the gospel, whatever is your assignment, let us begin to take saving the lost very critically. Every growing church must have an evangelistic pastor. I didn't say you must be an evangelist, but you must be an evangelistic pastor. You must be an evangelist at heart. You must be a soul winner at heart. Whether you are a teacher, you must have an evangelistic heart. People should be saved as you teach. People should be saved as you sing and worship. People should be saved as you carry out your women ministry or your youth ministry or your campus ministry. People should be saved. That was why Jesus came. I have been to meetings where a whole week passed. No guest minister gave an altar call. What a shame. What a shame. They call it set so and so conference. For some, it's a believer's meeting or whatever it is. Which means that there are meetings where no unbeliever is expected to attend. What a shame. T.L. Osborne said the sole aim of the church is the evangelization of the lost. Oswald Jesmin said the same. Pastor, you know what I'm talking about? Big
guest ministers. Whole conference has come and gone. No altar call. None. Whenever you invited a guest minister, if they don't take an altar call, remind them. If they still fail to be reminded, take it yourself. Take that altar call yourself. Don't let a service end. Our ushers here are permitted and licensed to remind the speaker. Last Sunday, I was rushing. People were moving out in droves. Number one, I forgot to take the offering. This service like this, this church like this, with this number of people. And it's not once, twice, thrice, it's not four, it's not five, it's not 10 times that we forgot to take the offering. Until church members are saying, offering! You have not taken offering. I believe that if money was the objective, offering should be the first thing. And then in that rush, lift up your hands, let's share the grace. And the usher said, altar call. That is, pastor, you haven't taken altar call. He said, thank you, I'm so sorry. Remain standing. You need to give your life. That's, they are reminding myself. And they have been licensed to do so. They have been licensed to do so. Whenever the altar call is not, call it up. Call it altar call. Saving the lost. Number two, ministry of the master. And again, like I said, whatever is your ministry, souls must be saved. Whatever is your ministry, souls must be saved. Number two is discipling the saved. Discipling the saved. Dr. Mrs. Enenche just told us about inoculating people. We must disciple the saved. Acts 4:13. When they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and they perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Jesus discipled those that he saved. No wonder he said in John chapter 15 and in verse 16, he said, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and I have ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit. And don't just bring forth fruit, ensure that your fruit remain, so that whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it unto you. A disciple deceived. Don't just be satisfied with altar call. Let them be saved. And there are two ways. There are many ways, but I'll just mention two. Where the saved can be discipled. Number one, through discipleship teachings and trainings. Teachings and trainings that incorporate people from the world into the church. Teachings, trainings. Every church should have a buoyant discipleship, membership training program. It doesn't matter how long it takes. Paul the Apostle said, I have taught you all things and I have showed you. In Acts of the Apostles, chapter 4, verse 13, he taught them, he trained them. So here, you give your life to Christ, you pass through a membership class, you pass through a discipleship and leadership training class, and then you are passed through from level to level, to level, to level, that establishes you. Number two is church establishment programs. People are established in the church. Firstly, by cell groups, home cells, cell fellowship, small unit groups, where people can be planted and be monitored on a closer level. Every church that want souls saved and retained must have systems. In Acts of the Apostles, they met in the temple and from house to house. They met daily in the temple and from house to house. Acts chapter 2 from verse 44. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. It is not a Paul Yongicho's model. It is a Bible model. It's a scripture model for establishment of people. People get lost in the crowd if they are not established. Am I communicating at all? That was what Dr. Mr. Nenche just told you now. They went on evangelism. They brought home cell people among. They took the souls to the home cells and then brought them to church on Sunday and then encouraged them through the foundation class. And then until we plant viewing centers. Our home cell system, by God's mercy, is growing. We are getting close to 17,000 now in home cells. In FCT, within FCT, we had a home cell congress, home cell leaders the other day. Home cell leaders and their assistants. That's home cell leaders meeting. Within FCT and their assistants. But at the last count, I'm sure they are like 16,700 leaders apart from assistants. That is not the congregation. That is the cell leaders and the assistants within the FCT. Are we interested in souls being saved? And are we interested in them being established? The discipleship and the trainings. And secondly, church establishment through home cells. And aggressive church planting. Church planting is a discipleship agenda. That is, you made places available for the people to be groomed and taught. Yours may not be a full-fledged church planting. It might be more like a harvest center or a viewing center or something where the people can then gather within the week or something and come together to a central church on Sunday. Whatever way it is done, let places be made available where people can be groomed and discipled. Church planting, crusade is soul winning. Church planting is discipleship, is making discipleship venues available for the people to be discipled. Am I communicating? So we are in aggressiveness of church planting. And with the church planting also comes church constructions and buildings and God supplies. We have tens of churches in building currently. But maybe we'll talk about the 31 of them. Just about 31 of them in construction right now. Aside the whole number that is constructed. Can you show some other pictures? In construction, some are at finishing stages, some still coming up. Keep going. All in construction. Keep going. Keep going. Shift to the next one. Port Harcourt Central. Last three levels.
It's a micro glory dome. It has swallowed resources. It's sitting on, the whole plot is 21 plots, right? Keep going. Calabar Central. Some of the of them building roofing costs is almost like $100 million. Keep going. Keep going. Are we done? That is ongoing. All at the same time, crusades going all over the world at the same time, everything going on at the same time, with nobody under any trace of pressure. Is there anybody under pressure here? Something is pressing you. Aggressiveness. Jesus said, I must walk the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can walk. Nobody should feel any other thing but inspired to run. No trace of demotivation or intimidation of any sort. But just the fire to run. And once you are connected to a root, you are permitted to bear the same fruit. I prophesy today, grace to bear multiplied fruit is released right now. Name of Jesus, grace for the race is released right now. You are saying amen. Shout the loudest amen. And so, saving the lost. Number two, discipling the saved. In trainings, in teachings, in membership and discipleship classes, in cell fellowships, in church plantings. Number three, healing the sick. Healing the sick. If he said, occupy till I come, fill my ministry till I come, then healing the sick is part of it. Matthew chapter 4, verse 23. Matthew chapter 9, verse 20:35. Now, so, and Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. Matthew 9:35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, again, villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. He went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Matthew 8:17. That it might be written, fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Matthew 14:14. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them and healed their sick. Jesus ministered to the sick and the afflicted while he was on earth.
He further went to the cross to die for the sick to be saved, to be healed. Do you understand? While he was on the earth, he ministered to the sick. Then he went to the cross and died. Isaiah chapter 53 verse 3 to 5. And he said, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he had borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Somebody say amen. Somebody say louder amen. Somebody say the loudest amen. Someone is saying, but why is that my ministry? John chapter 14 verse 12. The work that I do shall you do, and greater works than these shall you do, because I go to my Father. The works that I do shall you do, and greater than this shall you do, because I go to my Father. Somebody say aloud, amen. Now let me say it like this. We are to occupy his assignment. Even though somebody may say, I don't have a healing ministry. All I have is the ministry of the word. Jesus didn't, I didn't receive the call of the healing ministry. That's okay. That's okay. It's possible that out of all the assignments that Jesus did, there is one aspect of it that your life is emphasizing. But the truth of the matter is, whatever is your calling, even if it is not all the time, once in a while, something shows up. Billy Graham did not consider himself a healing evangelist. He didn't minister healing. Just as I am without one place, he will just preach and give the altar call. And people will come out and be saved en masse. But there were occasions in his ministry. One day they were singing and a blind eye opened. He didn't plan for it. And they came and told him excitedly, a blind eye just opened. He said, oh, really? That is not common in our ministry. Praise the Lord. If you are doing the ministry of Jesus, you will see the products of his ministry here or there. Even if you didn't consider it your chief calling. Am I communicating? People who are not called prophets have said things that are accurate, true or false. Under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, he just said something very accurate. Not because he has the calling of a prophet, but he has the ministry of Jesus. Somebody said, my own assignment is a teacher. Let evangelists go for crusade ground and let people be healed. Now, Luke 5:15 covers you, the teacher. But so much the more when there are a fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together to be prayed for, to be healed. Is that what he said? They came to hear and to be healed. So in the course of your teaching, healing happens. Luke chapter 6 verse 17 also, he said, he repeated it. In the course of your teaching, and he came down with them and stood in the plain and the company of his disciples and a great multitude of people out of all Judea and Jerusalem and from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, which came to hear him and to be healed. So, teacher of the word, teacher of whatever particular persuasion you are in, worshippers, singers, music ministers, while you sing, while you teach, while you make your presentation, if the spirit of Jesus is in it, healing will happen without your permission. If the spirit of Jesus is in it, the healings will happen even without your permission, without consulting you. And then when you take it upon yourself, Master, I am going to move in your ministry. Sick people are so plenty. Afflicted people are multiplying. There are a lot of people are tormented by different things. And you took it upon yourself with compassion.
then you will see greater dimensions of manifestation. Somebody say loud amen. Take your seat. So, healing the sick. Number four, delivering the captives and the oppressed. Delivering the captives and the oppressed. Jesus had a deliverance ministry in all that he did. Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1 to verse 2. The Bible said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Deliverance to the captives. Luke chapter 4, verse 16 to 21. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives. Deliverance. Deliverance. Acts 10:38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. He went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Deliverance to the captives. Somebody say amen. Why must we walk in deliverance? Two things. Number one, we must walk in deliverance because we live in a highly spiritual world. Highly spiritual. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 10 says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. We live in a highly spiritual world. There are some people who are coming to listen to you in church who came with demonic powers. They came to try who you are and what you represent. Why must we walk in deliverance? Number two, because most human challenges have spiritual roots. You are trying to counsel a drug addict, and the root is spiritual. A demon must be dealt with. Most human challenges have spiritual roots. If you look at Luke chapter 13 and in verse 11, you saw the woman with the spirit of infirmity. And she was bound. Do you understand? So most times, what you are trying to counsel people about, most times, it is a devil that needs to be dealt with. A demon needs to be dealt with. Let me give you this story. A young man met me, young pastor, married with two children. And he came to tell me, he said, I have a problem. I said, what is the problem? He said, I have a marital problem. I don't have any relationship with my wife. He said, in fact, these two children I have is literally by accident. I can't relate with my wife. No meeting. He said, his only attraction is to men, to guys. And that he grew up as a child. Nothing happened to him. He only noticed that girls don't move him. But men, guys move him. And he grew up like that. And he kept on growing like that. But he still remained clean. Until he was employed in a hotel as a receptionist or something. Then he went and met a fellow receptionist. And he said, I have this problem. Since I grew up, I'm not attracted to women. He said, but I am attracted to men. When I see a man, something is happening in his body. reception, he said, me too. That's right. He said, me too. I'm like that too. That was how he entered the snare. And they started the homosexual relationship. And then he continued. And then he continued. And then he continued. He became, he was a pastor. And then whoever is around him, PA, man, this and that. So he ran by himself. And he said, this is, I don't know how to go about. I don't even know what to do. I want to leave ministry. I want, the marriage is in shambles. That was when I knew for the first time, all this while, that some behaviors are not necessarily the decisions of the people. I didn't know. I thought that somebody decided to be gay or decided to be lesbian or decided to be bestial. I then realized that demons are involved that manipulated their sexuality, manipulated and perverted their passion, perverted their desire. So instead of being angry, my heart filled with compassion. Wow. He's talking about their president in their country. And I placed him on a 3-day fast. Took him to this altar. Laid hands on him. Cast out that devil. The power rushed through his body. The yoke was broken. He was released. And I saw him again about three months later. Greeted him and he was so happy to come to tell me. I said, so how are you doing? He said, fine. Everything okay? Excellent. What about the problem we prayed for the other time? He said, oh no, that one is history. It's history. It's God forever. That devil left forever. He said, I now came to discuss with you about ministry. To discuss with you about ministry progress. To discuss with you about the way forward. Do you understand what I'm talking about? You cannot counsel that devil away. You cannot change that man's mind with ordinary words. You can't tell him, don't behave like that. It's not correct. Ordinary words will not do anything. That is why we need the deliverance mantle. That is why we need the fire mantle. That is why we need this mantle of liberation. And today I prophesy. You don't have to be a deliverance minister. All you need is to be a child of God. He said, in my name they shall cast out devils. These signs shall follow them. Not follow apostles or follow prophets or follow evangelists or follow pastors or teachers. But these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? I prophesy upon someone here. Maybe you are here like that. Maybe you have a behavior that is out of your control. You are not able to handle or control yourself. By this same anointing with which I preach, I declare that your yoke is broken. If you are saying amen, say it, have a amen. Say a believer's amen. Lift your hands, say in the name of Jesus. I receive the anointing for deliverance to liberate the captives. I receive it now in the name of Jesus. Give the Lord take your praise. Take your seat. Is somebody receiving something here? Say amen. What is the ministry of Jesus? Number one, saving the lost. Number two, healing the sick. Number three, discipling the saved. Number three, healing the sick. Number four, delivering the captives and the oppressed. Number five, raising the dead. It's his ministry. It's his ministry. It's his assignment. And there is no way we can escape it.
If he said the works that I do shall you do, and greater works than this shall you do because I go to the Father, then it has to be done. In Matthew chapter 10 verse 8, when he gave his disciples the commission, it was very clear. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. John chapter 11 verse 25 to 26. When he was at the tomb of Lazarus, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, even though he were dead, yet shall he live again. Why should the dead be raised? One, death is an enemy. Enemy of destiny. Enemy of divine purpose. There are many people who were cut short before their time. They could not fulfill their destiny because of death. The Bible said the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. 1 Corinthians 15, 26. Death is an enemy. Why is the dead to be raised second? Raising the dead was a critical part of the ministry of the Master, the ministry of Jesus. And he said, we shall continue in that ministry. John chapter 14, verse 12. We have to talk about it. We have to talk about it. And one thing I know is that anything we begin to talk about, God begins to confirm. Anything we begin to talk about, we begin to see the result. I believe that in a short while to come, there is going to be a multiplication of the grace to raise the dead, especially those whose times are not up, the people that need to live and fulfill their days. Somebody say amen. A pastor testified the other day how he was preaching and he slipped out on Tuesday. That pastor, where are you? Yes, come. He testified on Tuesday how that he was preaching on the altar and all of a sudden something began to happen. Come, quickly. Yes. Something happened before he started turning. Now, you have 1 minute. Tell us what happened that time. What happened?
So, as I went to the altar,
What happened before the altar? You said you had a little...
Yes, I had a little misunderstanding with my wife that Saturday. So, I was supposed to pray between 12 to 3. Normally, every Saturday as a pastor. So, I couldn't pray because I was looking depressed out of the matter. Then, I went to bed. And after, the following morning, I started feeling pain, very serious pain in my chest. So I prayed, make the man on the prophetic cover. The pain stopped. Then we prepare for church. When we get to the church, then as I step on the altar, when it was time to preach, start preaching, the pain came up again very seriously when I started to worship. And then when I noticed that my eyes started turning, I didn't want to fall on the altar because almost falling. Then I just dropped the microphone. With everybody in the church, I just stepped into the office. So I just entered the office, I collapsed there. And then that was the next night, I saw myself on the other side.
He saw himself, his spirit left his body, and he was on his way going. Then what happened that brought you back?
And then, after a while, they sent for ambulance, my mom, my wife, and then she said, a voice ministered to her after they have prayed, poured anointing oil, because she said my body was already cold. They are stretched in the office. And then she looked for my phone, get the tongues of fire between daddy and mommy. And
yes, the tongues of fire. He placed the tongues of fire.
Yes.
And I was tonguing Marco Shatokolaba. And Dr. Mr. Nenche was interpreting. Who said that your voice cannot be heard? Yes, why?
So, in the other side, I saw the everywhere was dark. I didn't see anybody. And then I was just confused where I was. I didn't know. I was just going. And then I was when I heard daddy's voice stunging and said, go back, go back. It is not yet your time.
Go back, go back. It is not yet your time. Go back.
So the next thing, he started tonguing. Then mommy's voice stepped in and said, and who said that your voice cannot be heard? Who said that your voice? So when mommy started saying that, daddy now said, yes. And then suddenly, two men appeared and said, they called my name and said, miracle, we are sorry, you have to go back. And I said, that was when I now asked them, where am I? They said, you are dead. This is the land of the dead. We are sent to take you back. I said, who sent you? They said, that voice commanded us to take you back. And then they held me by the hand. And then that was when I snitched in the office. Then I came back.
Snitched in the office. Do you know the length of time it took between when you couldn't know yourself?
Almost like when I came back to life, it took close to like 30 minutes before I could be able to recognize people.
All right. It took like that.
Like the period between the dead.
That is, the time you left the altar and went to the office and collapsed. And then the time you returned. Do you know the time you collapsed? And then when you came out, do you know the time?
Yes, my wife said it's almost an hour. Because she said she ordered people in the church to be taking praise. Praise was going on and people were even confused.
All right. Is there anybody who has this kind of story? Because we have a couple of people that have had, yes, step forward. We have had a couple of people that one of our pastors had this kind of experience, but he's not here. He was in Lokoja Church when... No. Obeya was in Lokoja. Yes. Yourself. Okay. Yes. He too has... Anthony had an experience like that. Yes, what happened?
Yes, I had a domestic accident at home. I fell on a glass door.
That's right. He bled, almost bled to death.
And the artery cut. It took me 40 minutes to get to the hospital. And when I got to the hospital, I told the doctor, when they were trying to find the nerves, and he asked the vein. He now asked, what happened? I couldn't explain. So I told him, please, can I lie down? He said, it's better for me to lie down so that they can trace it. The moment I lay down, that was all. The next thing, I saw myself at the other side asking myself, where am I going? I was asking, who am I going to leave my wife for? My daughter, my wife, we waited for 10 to 11 years trusting God for the next baby. 7-month-old pregnancy. I was saying, who will I leave her for? At that moment, I heard daddy's voice, where are you going? Go back! That was when I now felt pain right back in the hospital. And the doctors, I said, my hands. And they said, sorry, because they didn't even administer the painkiller anesthesia. They were now telling me, sorry, that the case was too. But the striking thing was I lost blood for 40 minutes. They went and took my BCV. And the miracle was that my blood was normal. And I can, they now distract me.
Go incredible, back incredible. Yeah, hypovolemic shock, and from there took off. So, wait. I don't know how. All right, yes. This person, let me tell you the story of this one. The line is so long, so I might not be able to go the line. This guy fasted dry. And at the end of the, you can stand. At the end of the dry fasting, he broke it with cold water from the fridge. And it shut down his system. And he passed. Gone. Wife crying, everybody crying. They had gone and brought ambulance. We have his picture. They have gone and brought ambulance. I was in Bielsa preaching with Pastor E. Adeboye. Which year was it? 2021, at the end of the COVID. So what, you tell us what happened on the other side.
It was at the cost of...
They just showed us the picture. All right. All right, go ahead.
It was after the fasting. I fasted for 7 days. So the last day of the fasting, so I took cold water. And that would only thing that I could remember. My system, everything was shut down. I saw myself at the other side, passing through first gate, second gate, third gate. The first gate, I saw people crying, member of the church and other brethren were crying, interceding on my behalf to come back to life, but to no avail. There is no way. The second gate, I was going, which is the third gate, that is when Daddy appeared. At that particular time, he was in Bayelsa ministering, and he appeared with microphone, with red eye. He said, go back. It is not yet time. Then, I've gone far. Arrangement of ambulance and also some brethren in the church, they have started contributing money already on what next to do. Then there is a notification. They have notified my parents in the village to do the necessary arrangement. But my mother was not involved because men, they can bear things. Why women, they cannot bear. And at the back of our house, they are preparing, digging grave and all of that because they say he's young, so we cannot keep him. And all of a sudden, people were bringing diverse opinion. But to know how God used the face of God's servant with microphone to call me from death back to life.
Do you remember the statement that was made?
How? Yes.
When I called you, I told you that I was where? That what?
In Bayelsa, ministering. And I paused the message. I paused the message to call you from death back to life.
I am currently in Bayelsa ministering, but for your sake, I came here so that you can come back to life. With a microphone in the hand. This same microphone I was holding in my hand. How many people would have gone see him? I didn't know he's here. How many people? Now, this kind of story is abundant. Abundant. But in the season we are in, we are going to see more. And sons and daughters of God here, more direct encounters with the dead are making demands on life to be restored, and it shall be restored. I declare today that what God brought you out from the dead for, you will fulfill it. In Jesus' precious name, fulfill your destiny, fulfill your destiny, fulfill your life assignment. Affliction will not happen a second time. In the name of Jesus. We have so many. How many are on this line? 19. How many of them are directly connected with the mantle here? All of them. Wow. Huh? Okay. This one went up. All right. What happened to you?
I fell on the... While I was posted to my location, 223.
What happened to you?
I fell on the altar.
Fell. What happened to you? And passed out.
I collapsed.
You collapsed and passed on. What happened?
2015, I collapsed. And I died for over 2 hours.
Oh my God.
I trusted.
Hold on, they shouldn't go.
7 months pregnant.
7 months pregnant.
I had a lack of blood. And
What brought you back?
I was already going. And then the gate opened, and I was just moving. And all of a sudden, you appeared to me and asked me to go back. When I turned, the gate was closing, was already closing. You pushed me and then said, go back! Your assignment is
the
not up.
The gate was in already Malaysia, closing
it was
back.
Closing. I saw it closing. You pushed me in Malaysia. I testified 2015 in Area 1.
In Malaysia, you testified in 2015 in Iraq. Tell us the date of the testimony. Just think about it and then we can pull out the video.
Okay.
Incredible.
This man BP, his church was demolished. BP went up and then he died.
His BP went up and then it took off.
Yes, sir. That was last year. Around October, my church was demolished. So the BP went off. So I just went to the bed just to lie down. Off I went. So while I was journeying, so I never knew. The hopeless was black. You all of a sudden, I saw you appeared. You said, return. It's not yet time for you to die. Your assignment is not yet over. So I opened my eyes. I saw my wife crying. I was like, I saw daddy. I don't know where I was going to. And all of a sudden, daddy said, return. Your time has not yet come.
This is amazing.
I don't think we'll discard all of this just like that. So, yes, I want us to actually document all of them. Get the full detail and the full documentation. This is our assignment. Every single one that came up. Just the way the picture, evidence, and all. The man from Malaysia, what happened to him? He just told us, and we'll pick the video 2015 when he testified, and then pull it out. And all the others, the first guy from Macaulay, we already have his video. And then you are from where?
Australia.
So when you passed, what happened? How did you come back?
Like immediately I played tongues of fire as I collapsed.
Who was playing it?
Myself. An arrow of migraine hit my head. Sharp. I could not even speak or talk. Immediately I heard a voice saying, you're dying, you're alone in the house. Nobody will save you. I could not speak. So I played tongues of fire and I lay down on bed. It's like I collapsed. But in the tongues of fire, I could hear mommy say the voice. And two creatures were just fighting me, holding me. And one big was supervising me. As I was fighting them, one of them I stabbed. And the voice of mommy is what I could hear. And who said your voice shall not be heard? And I woke up all of a sudden. It was midnight. By the time I was lying that time, it was 2 hours.
Let's get all of this detail. You are here in the choir. What happened to you?
I had a heart attack. That my spirit left was floating. I was looking at my children, said, is that how I'm going to leave these children? So I was going, you came and stopped me. I said, go back, it's not yet time. That was how my spirit came back.
Wow. That command is consistent. Please, every single one of you, I want name, time, detail, and any other evidence attached. We need all of that. Some will be called up tonight. Some will be called up tomorrow. And some will be called up at the vigil. Please, let's do that. Please, all of you, now, at the end of the service, just return straight to the front here as the service is ending. Can we all lift up our hands everywhere you are? When I gave the call, I was expecting one, two, or three persons. Some, those that I'm aware of and I know, I wasn't expecting like anything like this. Lift up your hands and say after me, say, Father. Say it louder, say, Father. Louder, say, Father. I receive the grace to fulfill the ministry of the Master in the name of Jesus. I'd like you to say this, I mean, say, in the name of Jesus. From this moment, I decree,
nothing dies,
around me,
in the name of Jesus.
Say it from this moment,
I decree,
nothing dies,
around me.
Open your mouth, pray for 1 minute. Nothing dies around me. Nothing dies before their time around me. Nothing dies around my ministry.
Nothing dies around my family. Nothing dies around my destiny. In the name of Jesus, so shall it be. In Jesus' precious name. Give the Lord the praise and take your seat. Incredible, what a service. Are we ready? Can we finish up this afternoon? I have two or three more to go. Saving the lost, discipling the saved, healing the sick, delivering the captives and the oppressed, raising the dead. Number six, lifting the poor. Lifting the poor. Lifting the poor. In Matthew chapter 11 and in verse 5, the scripture said, the blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. John chapter 13, verse 27 to 29, if you remember the story of, alright, let's look at this. And after the sup, Satan entered into Judas. Then said Jesus unto him, that which thou doest, do quickly. No man at the table knew for what intent he spake this unto him. For some of them thought, because Judas had the bag, that Jesus had said unto him, buy those things that we have need of against the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. It was a permanent ministry of Jesus to give something to the poor. Permanent. That is why he gave, he said, at the last day, the sheep on his right and the goat on his left. I was in the hospital, you did not visit me, I was sick, I was in the prison, you paid me no visit, and so on and so forth. He was talking about what he expected us. In John chapter 6, verse 6 to verse 12, 5,000 men beside women and children, he fed them. Anybody who has no ministry to the poor is not complete in the ministry of Christ. Anyone who has no ministry to the poor. I was talking with our father in the Lord the other day. Babo Yedeko. He said, as buoyant as people think our church is, they feed up to 2,000 people every Sunday who have need to eat before they go home. At this time, in this season. At times we have close to 1,005, at times maybe 2,000, but nothing less than 1,000 here every Sunday. Do you have any clip? Every Sunday, somebody is either getting packaged food to go home with or raw food to eat every Sunday. This particular you are saying is every Sunday you have the food, the cooked food. These are people who come in every Sunday and they know they will go home with food to eat. If they go, I'll tell you a story now. I'll tell you a story because it just reminded me something. A young man in this church brought money a few weeks ago to buy food, this kind of supplies for people. And he said, you know why I'm doing it? He's a millionaire now. I believe a billionaire.
He said, during our area, one day, that was the food that sustained him. That was the food that sustained him. He's a church worker. Look at the number of people there waiting for food to be given. That's our mini stadium there. He just went too fast from that stadium now. He said, after service, him, his wife, and his children will go to the welfare food, a whole family, to eat before they go home. Because there was nothing to go and eat at home. Now that family is living comfortably in the UK. This is cooked food now. Every Sunday. If all that ministry is about is what you drive personally, where you live personally, what you wear personally, is a waste of life. It's a waste of life. It's a waste of life. What you eat personally, what you drive personally, where you live personally, if that is all that your ministry is about, it's a waste of life. Waste. This particular one, I believe, was what a Christmas food distribution to everyone who is in need of food. This was not a crusade. Food crusade. Lifting the poor. Now, these, we give them food. There are others, we teach them how to go and get food for themselves. Can you show us that one now? That is empowerment in skill acquisition. It happens every single month. People are trained to become tailors. They are trained to become painters. They are trained to manufacture paints, actually manufacture. They are trained to become bakers. They are trained to become this kind of aluminium product manufacturers. They are trained in various things. And once the training is over, they are giving money to go and practice the trade. That's hairdressing. Graduated 53. That's solar energy installation. They are taught in solar energy technology. And then empowered to go and practice it. Tailoring. After they are done, they are given the sewing machines and equipment and things to go and practice it. That's bag making, right? Photography. Shoe makings. This is every single month. They pay nothing to enroll. They show up. Just show up. There are many of them now. One saw me the other day. He said he has a testimony. How we empowered him. I think he's in his millions now from this. And he wants to go and show us what happened to him and how he came. These are all bags manufactured there. That's the Food Bank and Skills Training Center. It's right here in this premises. That's their graduation day for that particular set. Hello? Soap making, detergent making, and this is every month. A set per month. A set per month. A set per month. Continues until kingdom comes. So, the other one was given food to eat. The other one, these ones are being taught how to get themselves food.
447 people graduated here. They left with ovens, they left with sewing machines, they left with baking things, they left with several things, all empowered. Some were giving cash in addition to all of this. Someone say amen. Look at your neighbor, say fulfill ministry. The ministry of the master. Fulfill the ministry of the master. Lift the poor. The poor among the brethren. Lift the poor. Somebody say a loud amen. Can we take our seat? How many of us think that this is important? You know, you can come and I can preach fire, fire, fire. And you go with fire. Right? But fire without impact. Right? Fire with nobody being touched. Fire with no practical. It doesn't translate into anything. And I want all of us to begin to do these things and let the world be forced to know. Let them be forced to know. All right? Because the mentality of the world is church is where people come and they are collecting money from people, and all they know how to do is to take people's money. All right? Let the world be forced to know that we are doing far more than many governments. I won't talk about electrification of communities that we have done, school blocks that we have built, boreholes that we have done, roads, maybe in the vigil I'll show a documentary, roads we have constructed in the north of Nigeria, part of that we did. Yes. Graciously we have a government approval that is causing us to construct an overhead bridge. Fully funded by church. It's approval approved for us as our contribution to the development in the land and our spiritual social responsibility. Are you following what I'm saying here today? I prophesy upon everyone here today. Fresh grace, fresh help, fresh mercy. Receive now. Take your seat. Show us that miracle in the Philippines. Woman on the wheelchair, living on the street in Manila, Philippines. Can you show us that clip? I'll be rounding off shortly. So I can free you, and in so doing, free myself. All right. If you do on the scholarship schemes, we can't say everything in one day. All right, show me the Philippines. The Philippines. That's right. This woman lived on the streets of Manila, Philippines. That's her husband pushing her there. That's their luggage at the back there. Homeless on the street in the Philippines. She was healed. Now, paralyzed with stroke. This one now, we just brought her to the altar to show us what happened before. I prayed for her on the aisle before now. And then she stood up. Now, after we had prayed and she is walking, we told them right there that we are going to give them a house in the Philippines, in their own country. See her the next day. We have changed her dressing. She's looking brighter and beautiful in another man's country. Look at them. Now they are in the shop, shopping. From money we gave them to shop and move to the house. That's Bishop Joey. He's the bishop that is helping us, the man with the thumbs up, helping us to coordinate their resettlement. That is, you are not only healed from coming out of the wheelchair. We cannot pretend that we are not aware that you are stranded and you are homeless. We can't pretend. If we are responsible for your healing, we should go further in responsibility. We should move further in the responsibility. That was a cemetery in the Philippines. Somebody say amen. So lifting the poor, lifting, that was us right there in medical outreach in the Philippines. Lifting the poor, lifting the poor. Lift up your hands and say, Father, I am ready. I am available. Help me, Lord, in the lifting of the poor in my generation. Help me, Lord, in Jesus' name. Finally, after lifting the poor, is offering supernatural provision. Supernatural provision. That is where, this is the realm, I'll talk more about this probably in the evening. This is the realm where God makes, Jesus made provisions to happen supernaturally. We saw that in Cana of Galilee, John chapter 2. Verse 5 all the way to verse 11. We saw that at the lake of Gennesaret, Luke chapter 5. And in verse 4 to verse 6, Peter could catch nothing until Jesus empowered him to catch something. Offering supernatural supplies. Pastors, one aspect of our assignment is to raise people that will have supernatural resources for kingdom purposes. Raise them not with gimmicks, not with rhetorics, but with power, with unction, with mantle. See all the things that you just saw today. Churches being built, Crusades 43, see, welfare, and not a pressure. How? There are people of substance that God will use you to disciple. But there are people with nothing that God will raise you onto substance. Those are the most reliable people. Where kingdom assignment is concerned. There are people of substance that God will use you to save and use you to disciple. A couple of them will, like the wife of Herod Steward in Luke chapter 8, verse 2 and 3. They are like Joseph of Arimathea. There are some like that. But there are others that God will supernaturally use you to raise. So Jesus went about moving and ministering and without any stress, without any limitation, without any begging. He didn't even as much as take an offering during his assignments, just the way we are going around on crusades without anything. And he was not stranded once. The ministry of Jesus is the offering number 6 of supernatural provision. And finally, number 8 is rebuking and judging the wicked and hypocritic. Jesus judged the wicked. He rebuked the hypocritic. He will not stay in a generation where things are going wrong and he won't speak. Matthew 23:23, woe, woe unto you scribes. Some people see some of us and say, why do you talk like that? You are cursing people at times. Let me give you a few scriptures where Jesus blatantly cursed. Woe unto you. Is that a blessing? That is a blessing. Can any curse be more than woe? When dogs see a person, say, whoa, 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 whoa. Is that a friendly signal? Cursing and judging the wicked and the hypocritic is part of our assignment. You can write the scripture down because of time. Numbers, Matthew 23:23, Matthew 23:25, Matthew 23:27, Matthew 23:29. Whoa. Luke 11:42. Whoa. Luke 1:45. Luke 11:45. And answered one of the lawyers and said unto him, Master, thus saying, do you reproach us also? Are we included? And he said, woe unto you also. Ye lawyers, for you laid men with burdens grievous to be born, and you yourself, you don't touch it with one of your fingers. Verse 47. Woe unto you. I repeat it. For you build the sepulchres of the prophets, and your fathers killed them. After they kill them, then you are decorating their graveyard. Hypocrites. Beloved brothers and sisters, it's part of our assignment to release rebukes, to release decrees against evil anywhere it be found. It's part of the ministry of Jesus. Friends, I welcome you to the ministry of saving the lost, discipling the saved, healing the sick, delivering the captives, raising the dead, lifting the poor, offering supernatural provision, and rebuking the wicked. Stand up on your feet, everyone. Welcome you to that ministry. Welcome you to that assignment. Welcome you to that work. You don't have to be a pastor to fulfill this assignment. All you need is to be a person, be a child of God, be a businessman, lift the poor, politician, lift the poor, career person, lift the poor, heal the sick, pray for them. You may not be able to heal them by yourself, but just pray for them and let God know at least you are concerned for the poor. You are concerned for the sick. You are concerned for the afflicted. Somebody say aloud, amen. Somebody say aloud, amen. Somebody shout the loudest amen.
Some people may say that, it's because the church is big now that they are doing those things. All those who are here from scratch, Elvis was my peer then. Welfare started from the scratch. Feeding the poor from the little 20-something 30 years ago. Needy people were not allowed to leave church without their needs being met. From then till now, it's just as this crowd is increasing, the scope is increasing, the budget is in millions increasing, and then we are having to meet the demands of the budget. All right, they have some shots they will show you about Christmas. All right, then this is our medical outreach. Now, doctor, every Sunday, we treat over 1,500 free of charge. Wow. All right, this is monthly. All right, 1,400 in the month of June. More than most general hospitals. Treated free of charge. We have consultant ENT surgeons, consultant obstetricians and gynecologists, consultant general practitioners and consultant everyone, and then 1,964 people free of charge in September, October 1,400 came in November. All right, they are all receiving expert care at Hope at no cost. How many? We close the year with how many together? December we had. Right. How many people the whole year? $15,669 medical treatment. How many children were delivered free of charge? How many children? Show us the deliveries. We've done this already. 14 deliveries. Free of charge. That one was almost diagnosed. But thank God, was delivered free of charge. Now, this happens every Sunday. Every single Sunday, they come to church, they walk to the clinic. Every single Sunday, after service, they go to look for where the food is being given. You got tablet from the clinic. And we are having a miracle at the clinic. Some people say they have gone everywhere. They couldn't be that. They gave them a particular medication in the clinic and everything disappeared. Whatever they gave them before, it's as if they came there, something happened. Beloved, let's go and let us be practical. We lay hands on the sick to recover by the unction. But the one that remained can go by injection. Now, this was Christmas food distribution. People who are of the other religion, they came and joined. Have you finished showing us? Christmas, December food distribution. It happens every year. It happens every year. Have heaps of food. Now, we are going to lift up our voices. How many of us want to throw ourselves into the ministry of Jesus? All of it, all of it, all of it, all of it. Lift your hands now and say, Father. Louder, say, Father. Louder, say, Father. If all we pray is 2 minutes is enough. Say, Father, Father, I surrender. And as I'm speaking, there are those that God may be laying in your heart to be a part of something as massive as this. Feel free to do so. I told you of a man. Yes. During the where was it in Czech Republic where we heard that a part of this country, Maiduguri, was flooded. We landed and went there straight. Consulted physically, took food and relief there, and so on and so forth. We don't have the time to show everything. But right now, yeah. Apart from the headquarters church doing this, branches are also conducting that. That's my degree. With the flood that devastated them, we visited, did medical consultations, provided food and so on. Lift up your hands, everyone, and say after me, say, Father, today I come before you. I receive the mantle for the fulfillment of the ministry of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, open your mouth and pray, people. The ministry of the Master. Thank you.
Father, today I come before you. I receive the mantle for the fulfillment of ministry. Lord, in the name of Jesus. Jesus' precious name. Everyone who is in need of surrender to Jesus, forgiveness of sins, and you want to rededicate your life to Jesus, carry your Bibles and bags and come forward here while the others will be on their way in a short moment. Pick your Bibles and your bags and quickly step to the front here. Or you want to rededicate yourself to Jesus after you heard such a message and you felt such a climate, you want to make it right with God. You are saying, Pastor, I cannot continue the way I have been. I want to be real with God. I want God to be real with me. I want to be a genuine Christian. I want to be genuinely saved and born again. Pick your Bibles and pick your Bibles. I'll give you the count of 10. You run to the front here at the count of 10. 1.
May my life become your
2.
Own.
3.
Dear Lord, may you find your
4.
Rest in me.
5.
May nothing
6.
For me.
7.
Be
8.
May you be the
9
Lord
and 10.
Lord.
While they are coming, keep on coming. Carry your Bibles and bags. Want to rededicate your life to God? Also, step forward. Let's receive you. While they are doing so, the rest of us, feel free. Again, come to surrender your life to Jesus. Have your sins forgiven. You want today to be a new day in your life. You want Jesus to be Lord over your life. You want to break an addiction from your life. Come forward here.